keep your views coming in on the perspectives that you have or the views you have in relation to Eamon de Valera 50 years on from his passing in 1975. And it's from one icon of Irish politics that we go to another icon of Irish politics. And that, of course, is the Daniel O'Connell Summer School, which is getting underway today, runs today and tomorrow, marking the 250th anniversary of the birth of Daniel O'Connell. Today's sessions will be held at the Ring of Kerry Hotel, Cathair Savine, and Saturday's sessions will take place at Derrynane House, Garry Daniel. There's a huge lineup of brilliant speakers on all sorts of issues to do with the politics of the day and the Ireland of the day, the future of the country, and it's all about honouring legacy, celebrating 250 years of the birth of Daniel O'Connell in 2025. With me on the line is one of those speakers who will be talking this weekend. And that's the Knight of Kerry, Sir Adrian Fitzgerald. Sir Adrian, good morning to you and thanks for joining me on the programme.
Good morning and thank you for having me on.
Now, you had a career in local government in London. You were the Mayor of Kensington and Chelsea as well. You spent years as well, I know, locating your family's surviving family archive. So you know a lot about the history of the area and the history of our two countries, indeed. Is that part of what you will be talking about this weekend?
Well, yes, it is, but probably much more to do with, you know, County Kerry, locally, and Valentia, maybe in particular, where I'm speaking to you from, and also comparing my ancestor, Maurice Fitzgerald, who was the 18th Knight of Kerry, with the Liberator, because their careers overlapped in a whole lot of different spheres. And I want to develop that tomorrow when I'm talking down in Derrynane.
You must be delighted at the opportunity to talk about that aspect of it.
Do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, if you would, that'd be great.
Well, I mean, they were exact contemporaries. They were born and died within two or three years of each other. And in terms of politics, their careers started, their political careers started very much in sync because they were basically fighting for Catholic emancipation. Now, Maurice Fitzgerald was in the British Parliament at that stage. And Daniel, of course, wasn't because he couldn't stand the Parliament as a Catholic. And so Daniel was, as I think most people know, developing a terrific career in terms of democratic politics and huge public meetings and this sort of activity. And Maurice, my man, was in the English House of Parliament, in House of Commons there. And he was giving advice, really, on when to, you know, push the matter forward and when to maybe hold back, depending on the mood inside the House of Commons. So sometimes he was trying to restrain the Liberator, which wouldn't have been all that easy, of course. And other times he was encouraging to, you know, put a bit of pressure on. And, of course, eventually that was very successful. But they had interesting overlaps in other spheres because Daniel O'Connell's original home was, of course, just outside Cathair Savine. And his family had two townlands on Valentia, Ballyhearney East and West, which were rented from my family. And we had a small patch of land at Renard Point, right behind the fish restaurant at Renard, where we kept horses. And there must have been some carriage there that enabled them to travel out because, of course, you know, there was no train in those days and no horse-drawn bus service or anything like that. So those were two areas where they overlapped their lands. And then they also collaborated, the two of them, with the Blennerhassett family. And the Trinity College Dublin had big estates in the country, and including County Kerry. And there was a strip of land in the middle of Valentia where the Trinity College people ran it from Dublin, and it was pretty bluntly, badly run. And they tended to let land from Dublin, and they let—they clearly must have let some parts of the estate here on Valentia to Dan Morris, my ancestor, and the Blennerhassetts. And Dan was collecting rents, their share of the rents from Blennerhasset and Morris, and passing it on to Trinity. And so these extraordinary exchanges took place there. But there were other areas as well where they collaborated. My ancestor started a packet company, a steam packet company, to try to get a direct steam packet line between Valentia and Nova Scotia in North America. And it was started during the boom that took place in 1824. And Daniel O'Connell and Morris both put money into it, and my ancestor got people from London, often with Kerry connections, or Irish connections at any rate, to put money in. But sadly, there was a bust very shortly after the boom started, and that meant that the company failed. So Dan lost his money in that, and Morris lost his, and I think other people, Duke of Wellington, I think, had money, and he lost his. And that was one area where they were very keen on developing this part of the Ivra Peninsula.
Yeah, and yeah, economically.
Economically. And another area, of course, was the pier building and the road building, because there was no road between Killorglin and Castlefleet in those days. And an amazing Scot he was, actually Alexander Nimmo, actually developed that road, the road that runs, you know, through Mountain Stage and Glenbay and Kells and so on. And he also, Nimmo, was responsible. He was given a job to build piers all around the coast. And so a huge number of piers, including the pier, actually, the first pier at Valentia, were built by him. I'm not sure if he built piers down towards Derrynane or not, but I'd be very surprised if he didn't. And so they would have collaborated with all of that, because they would have been aware that the economy was very weak here, yeah, and that the population was growing, and the land was divided up into very small farms, and that really other things needed to be done to try to develop the economy and to give people jobs that weren't entirely relying on the land. And another area was the slate quarry at Valentia, which actually is still operating. And the slate quarry employed a huge number of people. And there's a wonderful letter of Dan's where he talks about writing to his wife, saying, I shall be a rich slate merchant next. And I hope he was, but I'm not sure. I've got no proof of that either way. But they were very close. And then I'm afraid there was a massive fallout after the Emancipation Act, a very bitter fallout around two elections, particularly the election in 1835. And my ancestor lost the seat then because the O'Connells put up against him. And I thought for a long time that that was the end, that they never spoke again. But after he died, after my ancestor died, rather, Morris died in 1849, 2 years after the Liberator. And after Morris died, Morris O'Connell, Dan's eldest son, wrote to my Morris's son, Peter, his eldest son, Peter, who was here in Valentia then. And he said that he was very pleased to have been able to effect a reconciliation, and say all was well at the end. And
it made up after a lifelong association. It's brilliant that they did after a lifelong association in politics and business. Tomorrow morning, 9:40 a.m. Yeah, 9:40 a.m. I know you'll be talking in Derrynane House in Carrigdaniel. Lots of people looking forward to it. Sir Adrian, thanks very much for taking time to talk to us about in the programme this morning, and good luck with the weekend.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Yeah, that's Sir Adrian Fitzgerald there, the Knight of Kerry.